And we're recording. All right, welcome, Mallory, to the 24-hour Prog Talk. Well, 25th hour. I've been saying it wrong the whole time, the whole Frogathon, because we actually have a 25th hour. It's not ending at 24 hours, guys. We have another one. So I'm going to make
Insanity.
insanity. All right, so Mallory, welcome. This is your time to shine. Tell the audience who you are, for the ones that don't know you.
Hey, I'm Mallory, just Mallory. I don't really know what else to say about that. But a lot of people love to ask me or disclose information and like ask me for advice really fucking randomly. So somebody suggested that like I do it for a nest. So if anybody wants to just like talk about their shit or get some feedback, you might get feedback from the peanut gallery as well. Just fair point. But like anyone has any issues weighing them down and they want to come on stage, just raise your hand and we can have a nice chat about it. But there will be an audience and it will be recorded this time. So yeah, I have a feeling a lot like people are going to be like really shy and not want to talk, and I'm going to be like, man, I'm going to have to just be like recording 24/7 in my life so that I'm not having like time when like somebody wants to like, I'm like, I just want a drink. And somebody's like, my husband wants a sixth child and I don't know. Because that's happened. Hey, not Nossel, do you have something you want to share? I can't hear her if she's talking.
Yeah, I can't hear either. May need a refresh.
Yep,
Not
refresh.
Nossel.
It's me too.
Nothing on my end.
Can we hear her now? Okay, while she's trying to figure that out, I'm just going to tell y'all that one time, so I used to do stand-up comedy. And one time, right before I was supposed to go on stage, this lady like cornered me and was telling me like all of her drama. And she had five kids. Four were biologically her husband's, and he like wanted another one. And she's like telling me about how she doesn't, not only does she not want another kid, but she regrets ever having kids. And there are details about the like biology of her first child that she decided to tell me that I'm not even going to tell y'all because like that's like way too intense of a conversation for this early in the morning or this late, depending on where you are. And it was just like super intense and I like could not get away from her until finally I had to be like, hey, I've got to go get up on stage. And to go from like that conversation to like being on stage and trying to make a room laugh, I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, I was just trying to get a drink. Like, that's all I was trying to do. And instead, I was like, I really need to start carrying around referrals for people for therapists, whatever area I'm in. And I talked to like other stand-up comedians and I'm like, does this happen to you? Because this happens to me like every time I go on stage. It's typically after the show, not before. But like people are like, let me tell you all my shit. Like, and I'm like, is this happening to you? And like another comedian I know, she's a woman, she's hella funny. She was like, no, I think I make it pretty clear on stage that I'm an absolute bitch and I don't want to hear it. But yeah. Not Nossal, can we hear
Yeah.
you now?
Can you hear me, Mallory?
Yay!
Oh,
Yes.
okay. I was like, no. I need advice,
Okay.
Mallory. Okay. I have been trying to quit smoking and vaping for like 10 years. And recently I've tried again. So if you can think of anything that I haven't tried.
What's the longest you stayed quit?
Like 5 hours, maybe.
God. Okay.
Not a good
So
start.
Like the biggest thing is like having all of it away from you, not being around other smokers, changing your habits. I found with quitting smoking that having these tea tree oil toothpicks that you can get at Whole Foods are really helpful, just to have something to like do with your hands and put something in your mouth and take it out is super helpful. I'm not somebody who liked nicotine gum or anything like that. I just found it easier to just go without nicotine. And I found that like if I would use nicotine gum or something like that, I would start craving a cigarette. And it made it way worse than just going cold turkey.
I hate that gum. Yes.
The yeah, sticks. I mean, I know people addicted to the gum now. Like they gave up smoking, but now they're addicted to nicotine gum. And like, I know one dude who like never was a smoker, and I don't know why he tried nicotine gum, but he did. And now he has like a nicotine gum habit. And I'm like, Rick, what the fuck? Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing about quitting a habit is changing the habits associated with that habit, in my opinion. So,
but like, I think you identified the issue like right away, which is to not have it in the house. And like, I have like this fear of not having it in the house in case I need it. And that's the one thing I haven't tried.
You can always do something like, if you have that fear and you can't have it in the house, you can always do something like where you keep a pack of cigarettes at a friend's house, but then they're only allowed to give it to you under very specific like circumstances.
Yeah, a backup plan. I like that.
Yeah, but basically they have to act as like your willpower for a little
warden.
Bit.
Hey, warden. Yes.
It's hard to find a friend willing to do that, but if you do, it can be helpful, and then you'll feel like an asshole when it's like middle of the night and you want a cigarette and yeah, you don't like, want to call them.
I have to do the tail between the legs thing.
Yep. Marie, do you have anything to add?
Have you tried hypnotherapy?
Once. And I don't know if it, well, I guess it didn't work because here I am. But I haven't tried it since I was like 18.
Because I did the same. I tried everything. Okay. Everything. I got to the stage where I was having a cigarette and I was crying. Because I just didn't want to smoke anymore.
I don't want to, but I need to.
So I went and did hypnotherapy, and I have never touched one since. Okay. And when I walked out of the hypnotherapist, my friend said to me, okay, what does a cigarette taste like? That was the first question they asked me. And normally if I say that to you, or any smoker, you know exactly, comes to your mind exactly what a cigarette tastes like.
Right.
But for me, as soon as they said that, I was about to answer, but then I went, I don't know.
Oh, my God, that's what I need. Delete my smoking memory.
I did not know what it tasted like. Therefore, I didn't crave it again, ever.
Oh, rad. Okay. All right. You know, I got some things to do. Oh, go, Mallory.
You know, what's funny is, like, Marie said that, and I've been a smoker, and I'll be honest, is that I've had a cigarette recently, and Marie said that, and I was like, I don't even remember what a cigarette tastes like. I like couldn't describe it right now, and it hasn't been that long since I've had one. But I don't, one of the things is I don't identify as a smoker. Like I may have like a cheeky cigarette when I have a drink or something like that, but I don't identify as a smoker anymore, and so like it's not part of like who I am. So it's not, if I'm like, I'm not trying to quit smoking anymore. I'm trying to return to my baseline as not a smoker.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I feel like that's an easier mindset to operate from. Because if you're like constantly like, I'm a smoker that's trying to quit smoking, then you're like, you're kind of pushing a boulder uphill because you're fighting against like an innate part of yourself. But when you start identifying as someone who's not a smoker, like you're not this thing anymore, then it's more of the default to act that way.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, Boo, do you have anything for us? Do you want to talk, or are you on stage by accident? What is going on with the stage, man? Things are crazy. Hey, Marie, did you want to talk about the Jack's girlfriend situation on Noster?
Oh, yes. Dear Mallory, how do we deal with the many wives of Jack Dorsey stalking us on Noster, please?
Oh, God. The many wives of Jack Dorsey. That, I feel like that should be like a play or a novel or something. So for those who don't know or who are not familiar, multiple women on Noster have trouble with other accounts attacking them because they get jealous and possessive of Jack Dorsey, and they decide that we have some sort of relationship with him and that we need to back up and stay away from their man. Nossel, do you want to chime in
real quick? Yeah, wait. Oh my God. This is a real thing because this happened to me.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's happened to multiple women.
Oh my, that's why everyone was so, I was like, oh, Jack boosted my cool drawing. And then like mad people were like, fucking whore. And I was like, what?
So there are a few very specific accounts that have a long-standing problematic issue with reality, as I would say. Sometimes their grasp of it seems to come and go. There's one account, or well, there's one person who makes multiple accounts, I should say. She's had multiple NPUBs, and she has had moments where it seems like almost like she's on medication and she's kind of back to reality, but it seems like her grasp of reality has slipped again. And she got really mad at Marie recently. And that account also, I think that account has actually scared, like that person and who's had multiple NPUBs has actually scared me. And I almost quit following Jack Dorsey because of like their posts on like his posts, because I just like didn't want to see that. And she does spin up like multiple NPUBs, but like fortunately, like you can just mute them like when new NPUBs like emerge. So like I don't see that much stuff from her anymore because I don't want to. Like you gotta manage what you're taking in. But she has, one of my favorite things though, was that this was months and months ago, she got mad at Roya and was like, back up, stay away from my man and everything. And Roya's like, I don't even know Jack. Like, I don't know why you think like I'm trying to come for your man. Also, I like women. Like that was her response. And then this account's response was like, well, I guess you could have a threesome with us. And I just still to this day, like sometimes think about that and I'm like, wow, wow. Like that's, anyway. But I think it brings up like an interesting like topic of like parasocial relationships and how sometimes they go to extremes. In terms of just like people being at an edge where they've lost connection to reality at points, and they like think that there is a relationship where to anyone on the outside, like it does not appear that there is a relationship at all. It appears to be totally one-sided in one person's like mind. I frequently think back, there was a situation with Eddie Redmayne, the actor who was in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, The Danish Girl, many other films, fantastic actor. And there was a German woman who traveled all the way to England and was like basically posted up, like posted on a wall of a public park across the street from his house, and was like convinced that she was his wife and everything. And so he's living in this house across the street from the park with his wife and children, and they're having to like live every day coming in and out with this woman just on a wall, sitting on the wall of a public park across the street. And because she was in a public park, they couldn't really do anything, but she's also right across the street from their house. And eventually she got sectioned, and had to like, you know, receive medical treatment and stuff, because apparently she just like never left this park, or she broke into their house or something at some point. Like, things get really crazy sometimes with situations where people think they have a relationship with somebody that they don't. But at the same time, we all have parasocial relationships. They're just differing degrees. Like, we all have like celebrities we follow, or people we're fans of, whether it's sports or film or music. We all feel like we have some sort of connection to somebody. Like, I know for myself, like, I had this song that I listened to on repeat when I was undergoing a medical procedure, and I just like that song like got me through a shitty time. And I was able to message the musician and be like, hey, I listened to this song on repeat while like undergoing a medical procedure, and it got me through a shitty time, and I just wanted to say thank you. And he like responded and was like, holy shit, I never really thought of my song being listened to in that like context, but I'm glad that I was like, you know, it helped. And so parasocial relationships are like, in one regard, like necessary for an artist or, you know, sports player to have like a fan base, but sometimes they go horribly wrong. And it's really weird to be someone who gets caught in the crossfire, especially when you don't even know that person in real life, that like is, you know, like, I don't know Jack, Marie doesn't know Jack, like Roya doesn't know Jack, and we've all had, you know, people screaming at us, you know, on Noster about how like, stay away from my man, and we're like, I mean, that's already done, like I don't know what to tell you. I've had long conversations with some of them just because I felt like fucking around one day. And I'm not going to go into details because maybe they're in the audience and I'm not trying to incur the wrath of anyone. But they're like, I try to treat people who are like the Jack fangirls and everything like that, a little bit like they're a troll, but also like they're mentally ill. And so I have like extreme compassion with the fact that they seem to have lost touch with reality, but at the same time, they're also trolling me, and I don't interact with trolls. I don't feed the trolls. I stay away from them. I do as like, I mute them if I need to mute them. Like, I don't care what they're saying, you know, and sometimes I know some accounts are saying shit about me. I don't give a fuck. Like, that's between them and like whatever, because it has no basis in my reality, and I just have to let that go. I'm not gonna like fight that. And I know I've had some people try to come to my defense, and I've just been like, hey, just let them like shout themselves out. It's fine. I don't care. Like, I know the truth about myself and my reality, and what they're saying is not based in that. So it's totally okay for them to like have their thing. But I also feel like sad that like that's, you know, they're just kind of living like not in the real world, or but I will say, this is totally a tangent I'm about to go off on. Having read about neuroscience and everything, I am continually surprised that we have any common perception or any common agreement on what reality is based on how the brain operates. and just that we can have any agreement whatsoever that this is reality and this is not, like, continually amazes me, because we know so little about the brain, and the brain, and like, just the brain is really crazy. And especially like, if you like learn more about it, you just are like, what the hell? I also really love the fact that when we study the brain is an organ studying itself, basically. Like, that's just like, I don't know. That's some Matrix shit right there, if you think about it. Anyone else have any questions or want to talk about anything? And Marie, did I answer your question?
Kinda. So you okay. just got to mute them, I guess. I don't know. Like today, another one spun up and another profile, and I'm pretty sure we know her, you know, and everyone on Nostra was welcoming her, thinking that, you know, she's related to him or his wife or whatever the case is. And I just made a comment saying, oh, here we go again, another one of Jack's many wives. And oh my Lord, she came down on me. How many other wives does he have? You can even ask his mum and dad about me. I'm the nicest one ever. Da, 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 da. And I'm the only wife he has. And what do you mean there's other wives here? Who are they? Point them out to me and I'll sort them out. I'm like, oh my God, go and get yourself a bloody life. Honestly.
I know exactly who you're talking about. She's the same one who like attacked Roya, and then when Roya was like, no, I'm into girls, was like, oh well, you can have a threesome with me and Jack, which was like such, like, she was being very violent and angry, and then it was like this complete like flip, like switch, yeah, flipped, and it was crazy. And it's, but I mean, they're like she legitimately seems to have mental health issues, and there are sometimes where she seems like she is medicated and have more in touch with reality, and other times where she seems to have completely lost it. And it feels like you're just dealing with a mentally ill person who's, you know, kind of either she's going on and off medication, or she's, you know, just having cycles with like the mental health thing. And I think you have to have, on one hand, you have to have compassion for that, but you also have to protect yourself from someone's behavior. Like, you can't allow their behavior to, like, you know, run rampant in your life. Island, do you want to say something?
Marie has to refresh. A few people can't hear you.
Okay.
Sai, did you have your hand up? Did you have an issue you wanted to talk about?
Well, does B2 have something he wants to talk about?
Yeah. So you got two of them.
No, it was just, I couldn't hear. I saw all the reactions going up, and I figured Marie must have been talking, and I couldn't hear anything she was saying. So I was wondering how many other people were having that problem as well.
Oh. Well, let's
can
see
you hear me now?
There we go. Now I got her. Well, okay. Yeah. So I missed the whole, it must have been a funny rant because it was all laughing emojis, but I didn't hear any of it, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
It's been recorded, isn't it?
Yes, it is recorded. So you'll be able to hear it when the recording's released. Shit, I forgot it's being recorded. Whatever. Anything goes. I'm glad I haven't mentioned any of the profiles by name, that because I would have zero peace if I had done that. But yeah, I mean, some of the profiles have gotten downright scary, like to the point where you almost want to contact Jack and be like, do you have like a security team? Because you need to be aware of this person. Like, this is frightening. I don't know. Maybe Jack just needs to have an MPUB for his security team so that we can just, like, you know, tag them in concerning posts. Like, can someone suggest that to him? Anyone know him? Like, I don't.
Yeah, I'm his husband. I'll send him a message.
I mean, mean, if he's gay, that would explain why he has many wives.
It's complicated. We wouldn't understand. We live in a society.
I've legitimately had people like message me and be like, "Are you Jack's girlfriend?" And I'm like, "No, I don't even know if he has one." Like, I don't know what I've said or done that has given someone that impression. But I have had people like, A, both people who are like kind of the crazy ones, and then I've had people legitimately ask if I am Jack's girlfriend, and I will set the record straight and say that I am not Jack's girlfriend. That is the recording is going to be funny when people are like laughing at emoji reacts and you can't tell in the recording. But does anyone else have any questions or anything they want to talk about? Come on, it's only like the half hour. Side like
hand up.
What?
Hey guys.
Oh.
There you go.
Come on. What you got?
Hey Mallory. Man, I think I'm about to quit my job.
Oh, what has led you to decide to quit your job? And are you quitting your job for another job in the same field or like changing fields altogether?
I'm not sure what I want to do because I have pretty much a beginner level of like, or like beginner to like intermediate level skills for different things. So I do hairstyling, first of all. And then I also have a permanent makeup license. And I can also do electrolysis. And I have a cosmetology license, which means I can do hair, skin, and nails. So it's all beauty aspect. But I think my place where I am right now, I'm not advancing enough and I'm not learning enough. So I'm kind of feeling like a little still.
So is that your only complaint about the job?
Well, they're racist, first of all.
That would be problematic.
It's very apparent. They just got sued for that, and it's kind of a bad record. And it's not I'm sorry. It's not that they're not nice people. They're great people and I can deal with them, but it's apparent that it's a toxic work environment, and it seems like I need to go somewhere where there's a little bit more education or some kind of advancement. There's nothing out there right now that's like a good job or suited out there for someone like me. Do you know what I mean? There's like hair salons, there's great places, but there's not great corporations or anything that have education behind them that could help you.
So what I know about hairdressing is just based on the different areas I've lived in. And when I lived in San Francisco, there are a lot of small independent salons there that do education programs in their salons. And there are stylists who travel from other parts of the country to go work there for a while so that they can get that education. And then they move to other parts of the country to like, because they end up being a much higher rated stylist, and you can only, an area can normally only support so many of them. Like, I'm assuming you don't want to work at like Supercuts and, you know, just do basic shit. You want to have an actual like career as a stylist, and you may have to look at, if you really want to grow your skills, you may have to look at like temporarily leaving the area that you're at so that you can go study and train with somebody who is very proficient at, or very good at what they do, and actually has skills to pass on to you, and then bringing those skills that you attain, like bringing those skills back to your area. You may have outgrown the skill level that's in your area, and that's okay, but you may have to look further afield to find someone to learn from.
So you're saying I need to move out of my comfort zone, out to the wilderness, and almost get killed, but you know, I'll survive.
I mean, okay, let's not go to the wilderness and let's not almost get killed. Like, we're talking about maybe going to a frou-frou like high-end salon in another city and attaining skills. Like, let's not get killed, like, or almost get killed. That's not necessary. Be careful with the shears. Like, but you sometimes have to push yourself out of your comfort zone and go to other places, and so that you can learn and you can grow as a person. And I think Rupert wants to chime in, or not Rupert.
I don't know what kind of area you live in, if it's a big city or small town or what have you. My daughter is actually a stylist, and she's only just been doing it for about a year now. And her actual salon, they do continued education for all of their stylists at least once a month. So like, your best bet, instead of just like running off to somewhere that you don't know where the hell you're going or what have you, do a little research in your area, see if there's a salon that does that kind of thing for their employees, because those kinds of salons usually have better retention, and they also have more loyalty from clients as well as employees. So don't just like go running off to a whole new place. Do some research, see if there's any other salons, because if that's what you really want to do in your life, like if you want to be a stylist, you want to be a cosmetologist, whatever you want to call it, you want to be an esthetician, then you try to find your way where you're comfortable. Because my child is not a very outgoing person. She's not very talkative, and she has thrived at this salon. So while you said they're being sued for being racist and they're really nice people, those things aren't necessarily mutually inclusive ever. If they're very nice people, they wouldn't be getting sued for racism. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, how I would say it is like, we're super fake, so we know how to fake being nice. We're really good at being fake. That's what it is. But there are a bunch of hair salons that have education behind them, I know. And I know I could get into them, but I also want to grow into my other field, which is like permanent makeup. So I would have to go into a spa, and spas usually do not do education behind them.
So have you considered apprenticing at a tattoo parlor? I know it sounds wild, but permanent makeup is basically tattoos. And a lot of the tattoo places around here actually offer permanent makeup options.
Yeah, I have looked at different options for being a tattoo assistant, or like the intern. But there are none in my area. That's the thing. Nobody wants to take a chance to take on an intern. They're all just trying to make money.
Do you have a lot of permanent makeup people in your area?
There are quite few. it's not as many as like you would think that there are. I live in like the like DC area, Washington DC. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's very, you would think that there's a lot, but there's not that many that are very known.
Yeah, I mean, so at the end of the day, you're gonna have to like sit down, like basically it sounds like where you're at is not gonna work for you anymore. Whether you quit your job right away and try to move into something else or take some time to figure out where you're gonna land before you quit your job, which unless you have like a fat savings account or a spouse that can support you while you quit your job, I highly recommend you don't quit your job until you kind of figure out what direction you're headed in. Just because it can take a lot longer to find where you're gonna land than you might think it will. But it's just, you kind of, you're gonna have to narrow down exactly what it is you're looking for. You definitely know you want a place to grow in. You definitely know you want to keep learning. You want to improve your skill and your craft. You're going to have to prioritize whether that's hairdressing, permanent makeup, what you're going to focus on, because you can't do everything at the same time.
Right.
And so you're going to have to just kind of figure out exactly what it is you want to prioritize for the next bit of time and, you know, kind of how you want your career to like move forward.
Well, I wanted to stay where I was and like grow where I was, but it seems like they kind of are stunting my growth.
How so?
But I want to say maybe it's my fault because I should be looking for the education and everything by myself, but I don't feel motivated enough to do that. Gotcha. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the salon you currently work at doesn't promote a culture of growth is how you feel.
Yeah. And I want to change that.
That's totally feasible to happen because a lot of times when one person changes their behavior, it changes the behavior of those around them. If you start going to like conferences or workshops or whatever, like you're near the DC area, you can hop on a train and go up to New York City and do like a workshop for a day, you know, a couple of days, and then come back and bring that knowledge back to your home base and like learn, you know, do some like short term learning sessions. Like my hairdresser in San Francisco, she does workshops in New York. So I can always like send you that information. Unfortunately, my old hairdresser became Instagram famous and now I can't afford her. So I miss her haircuts.
So how about like the money aspect, like who's going to pay for it? Is the thing they want me to pay for my own education, which is kind of unfair because I'm bringing in the education to their location.
Who sets the rates at your salon?
My boss.
Okay, so your boss,
there's two bosses.
So your boss sets the rates for what you can charge?
They set how much I should charge for each thing that I, for what I use and everything.
So if they're setting your rates, you should talk to them about chipping in for the education if your skills are going to improve or allowing your rates to increase based on the education that you get. At the end of the day, the skills are for you. You're going to be able to take them with you if you change salon. So I wouldn't worry too much if you're going to have to pay for them or not because the growth is for you. But you need to be able to, if they're not going to pay for it on the front end, they need to pay you on the back end once you take those classes because your skills are going to improve and you're going to have more knowledge and information. And so your rates should increase.
Thank you, Mallory. I think Bittich wanted to say chip in.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. So after hearing, you know, everything that you guys have been kind of saying, one of the things that I do kind of come back to is that there's an element of proof of work that's kind of required here, right? And that, and one of the things that I kind of heard you say was that, like, you know, you want to have this continued education, you want to have growth, but you also kind of, and sorry, I don't mean this in any bad way, but in a sort of tough love way, it also sounds like you kind of want to have someone to push you into it, and rather than you doing it yourself. And so I think you kind of have to come, that's one of the things that people in general, I mean, it's not just you, this is like very normal thing, right? I do the same thing, like have to come to terms with like, hey, like, yeah, you want this like better thing, but you have to put in the work to get there. And so when it comes to like your salon isn't willing to pay for it and stuff like that, and it sucks, and they really ought to because they are benefiting from it. But if they're not going to do it, and if you're not willing to go out and try to find the salon who will do it, not saying that in a bad way, just saying like, you know, you want to stay kind of where you are, then ultimately it comes down to you having to go out and find it yourself, and you know, give and take, and maybe it is that you have to pay for it. But just like Mallory said, at the end of the day, it's your skills that you're going to be able to bring around with you to wherever you end up going. You know, it's in the long run, it's benefiting you. What I see is that there's, you know, ultimately a couple options that you could do. You can stick around there, you know, the score, you know what it's like there. And if you want to go forward, then you're going to have to go out and pay for those courses and pay for your education and do it from there. If you're willing to go out on your own, then you know the trade-off is you need, you know, hopefully someone to be able to support you in the meantime. You have to have the upfront resources to, you know, get yourself started and everything like that. And there's a lot of effort to be put in there, but there's also a lot of reward, right? Because you're going to learn a lot being out on your own, doing your own thing, making your own mistakes. And then there's, I think if I understand it right, your industry, there's kind of like a middle ground where you can sort of like rent space from some companies. I think there's one, like in my area, there's this company called Salon Moss, where, you know, the company kind of just holds the space and they have some equipment for you. And so they cover a lot of the upfront costs and you kind of rent the space from them, and you can do a lot of stuff. And that might be like a stepping stone, right? And then, you know, you're able to meet other people that are around who, you know, might have more skills than you in certain aspects. You can kind of push your own career in a certain direction, you know, do the services that you want to do, and charge what you want to charge. So that's kind of my two cents there.
Do you realize that if you're renting a space in a salon with individual rooms and you're not renting just a station at a bigger salon, that, like when you're renting a small, like a space in those like salons with the individual rooms, you're basically starting a small business. So I like, it would be a good idea to write a business plan before launching into that and to like know if you can take clientele with you and that they'll follow you, because it's harder to get clientele in those spaces if you don't have a large, you know, client base, word of mouth situation going on. Noster is great and everything, but a lot of people find hairdressers on Instagram. I hate to say it, but it, like, I've known multiple hairdressers who they just are posting their pictures on Instagram and they're getting clientele that way. So you kind of have to look at the market, and even if it's not like a social media platform that you would personally like to use, if it's good for your business, sometimes you just have to kind of suck it up and do that for your business. And I know my hairdresser in San Francisco, she started posting all these pictures during the pandemic of the haircuts she had done previously, and she, you know, was at home for a while, and she finally had time to upload them and kind of, you know, do her thing. And then she got super famous, like she's cutting celebrities' hair, she's been in like women's magazines and everything like that, and like her career just like skyrocketed. And I'll probably never ever be able to afford one of her amazing haircuts ever again, which makes me really sad, but I'm also really, really happy for her. Not Rupert.
Her name's not Siri, is it? She's a famous Instagram posting stylist.
Her name is Jane, and she works. She started Edo Salon in San Francisco, and her name is Jane Matthews. You can find her on Instagram, and some of her cuts are a little. Some people have opinions on them, but she does like all of her haircuts across the board, whether it's classic or whether it's like a super stylish or like super trendy, like wolf cut or whatever. They're all really great cuts. And she specializes in cuts that grow out really well and really they air dry well because she works with people's natural texture. And she teaches, she's now moving into education more than anything. And so she's teaching other hairdressers how to work with people's natural texture and cut hair in a way that will grow out really well.
I think my brother and my daughter both actually follow her on Insta.
She's, you know what? I've known her. She was my friend before she was my hairdresser. I've known her since 2004. She's amazing, and I'm really, really happy for her. Sometimes I'm sad that she's gotten so well known and that she doesn't have time to cut my hair anymore. I also don't live in the area. Like, I would have to travel back to, like, have my hair cut, which I am 100% going to admit that I have done. Also, I will admit that I asked my hairdresser to cut my bangs a little bit shorter yesterday, and they're a little bit shorter than I was envisioning. And then when they got poofy this morning, I was like, oh, damn, I got baby bangs, and this is not the intention. And this is, like, it's going to take a minute to grow out and look normal again. We've all made those mistakes. So we've got a little bit of time left. Does anyone else have any questions or a quick question?
Again, thank you. Also, Mallory, thank you, Rupert and Biddish.
Thank you, Black Cat. Thank you for like being willing to put it out there and chiming in. And I hope we answered your question to the best of our ability. Talking to someone you admire in your field is also a really good step to take, because if you look at someone else's career and you're like, I like the career that path that they've taken or where they are at in their career, and trying to find out where they like how they got there or what advice they would have for you is more applicable than what we can tell you because we're not in your field. So Rupert, you got anything?
I was just going to add that I used to work at the library, and mentorship was a huge thing. Find yourself a mentor, find somebody that you can just go talk to. Anytime you have any questions about anything, just be like, hey, you're my person. And they're like, yeah, sure, I got you. Like, find somebody like that, because in your field, a mentor is a huge, huge help.
I'm going to add on to that and say that I think mentorship is so important, not just in your work life, but in other areas of your life as well. If you're struggling in an area in your life, find someone who you admire where they are and where and it has, they're in a spot in their life where you want to be, and just pick their brain about how they got there. And, you know, people love being asked if you'll be their mentor. And I've had mentors over the years who, like, the information that they passed on to me is still positively affecting my life, you know, 20 years later. So anyone have anything else? Or I thought maybe we could end it by sharing the worst advice we've ever been given, if anyone wants to chime in, because there's some terrible unsolicited advice. Nozzle. Not nozzle.
Calm down.
Let me guess. A man said that to you while you were having a fight with him.
Several. Calm down. I'm like, oh, thank you. So, now I can.
So where are their bodies buried?
Oh, I dismembered them and I used some chemicals to dissolve. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Good to know. If you have a body to hide, not nozzle is the person to contact. anyone else have some terrible advice they've gotten, Island?
Hey, Nassau, calm down.
Hey, Island, you should buy some Ethereum.
Oh, God. Has anyone been at a dinner party and someone starts talking to you about Forex trading? And, or like some event and people are like on about Forex trading and you're just like, I had one lady who was like, I'm living off Forex trading, but then she couldn't explain what it was. And like, I already knew what it was. So I was just asking her questions and she was just like, oh, you wouldn't get it. And I was like, okay. I understand that you don't get it, is what I get.
But. My mom told me one time not to buy Bitcoin. She was like, don't buy Bitcoin, okay? And I said, okay. And I'm not good at lying, so I just smiled.
So is the buy paid off for you yet, or are you still hodling?
I'm still hodling.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Asha! I already had bought it before she told me not to. So.
I gave Ashar advice one day, and I said, don't delete your entire account just because of peanut butter, and I hope she thinks that I'm wonderful for it. So... she was very upset. She was very upset when it happened. And she was like, what have I done? And I was like, no, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. I laughed so hard that day. My abs hurt so bad. I had family members checking on me, being like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I may not be, like, I may be turning blue because I've been laughing so hard. But, like, I'm fine. But anyone else gotten some really terrible advice? And they're just like, yes. Or wait, it's the 11 a.m. hour. Do we get to roll into Women's Mimosa Brunch now?
Yeah. Sleepy, are you around to shut off the recording? Or, all right, cool.
Yes, I'm just in time because I'm actually going to walk Pepe right now. So I'm just going to do this. I stayed just to do this and then take him for a walk.